No gust in the courthouse yesterday, I trust. Just a lot of business to conduct, huh?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. There's a lot of hot air that gets
yeah, you know, you could like a hot air, some of the hot air as gusts. But it looked like a fairly non-controversial agenda yesterday, so we'll take you through it and allow you to comment on each of the things here. First of all, very routine things at the beginning of it, such as authorizing the chair to sign a special designated liquor permit for Big Red Liquor. That's one of the functions of the Board of Commissioners, and I'm sure that went through without any big debate.
Yep. You know, liquor permits, they're one of those routine administrative items that our board reviews out in the county. So, like, such as this one, Big Red Liquor, obviously not their first rodeo. They've got a catering license, really successful events, a track record of really successful events. So this one was pretty easy for us to go ahead and approve and forward on with a positive recommendation.
Most of the time it is for established businesses that already have a license that just have a remote event away from their normal establishment. And this
Correct.
Is the case for this too. There's an event at the farmhouse this Saturday, the 11th. So anytime you do that away from your primary business, you have to get permission, basically.
Correct, yep. And so we review those. We also review new permits as well. New licenses. So anybody that's...
Make recommendations to the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission.
Exactly. Right. They rely pretty heavily on our recommendations. Mm-hmm. So we do the due diligence for them.
The other thing you deal a lot with is right-of-way applications. You had one submitted by Olson Farms, and I'm guessing that you went ahead and rubber-stamped that one.
Yeah, that one was pretty easy as well. Mm-hmm. They're just asking to put some conduit underneath of the county road out by their operation down south for some power to connect to a structure mm-hmm. out there. So pretty routine. Our highway superintendent reviews all of the things that could disturb the county right of way, make sure that you know the mm-hmm. plan is sound and that we're not at risk for damage to our infrastructures.
There are strict rules anytime bury cables, how deep they have to go, and you have to just abide by it. And now in this day and age, you put GPS tags with them so they can easily find them. So
that is the goal.
Yeah. That's what you want anyway. But if you're smart, you would do that anyway and make it easy to find. I remember we put it right here. Let's see, how come it's not there?
That's the importance of
ground moves sometimes.
Pre-inspection and post-inspection, so.
For sure. So let's get into the meat of what you dealt with yesterday. And that was, to begin with, an update by a representative from Congressman Adrian Smith's office. What did he or she enlighten you with?
Yeah, so periodically we have the community liaison for the 3rd District, mm-hmm. Congressman Smith's liaison, Val Jancenti, come in, and he provides us just an update of what the congressman is doing. So his update was fairly routine from what we've heard in the past. We felt it was important for us to kind of voice some things that we'd like to see the congressman continue to work on, which I know that he is, since he was out here really not that long ago in our neck of the woods, kind mm-hmm. of looking at the wildfires that we've been dealing with.
Right.
So just kind of keeping in that vein and keeping the pressure on that really anything that we can do or encourage from the local level to our representative in Congress, we're going to spur some federal aid for those that have been affected by these fires. So
that was the thrust that the board communicated yesterday.
Correct.
To
yep.
Val.
Yeah. So confident that those concerns, those questions and encouragement are going to get relayed on to the congressman. And so we'll see what comes from those mm-hmm. those conversations and the work that the congressman's doing. But I know that our entire federal delegation is working on this. They're all apprised, particularly our state senate or our U.S. senators,
right.
Senator Ricketts and Senator Fisher as well, on the importance of trying to alleviate and reduce some red tape at the federal level, get some ground released for grazing, and then anything that we can do to streamline the process for the USDA and getting some monies to those
getting
people.
Benefits quickly
exactly.
rather than having to wait
exactly.
know, several months before those trickle down and
exactly.
get them where they need to be. Are you happy overall as a group of commissioners with the response, the federal response?
It's too early to tell with the federal response just because it is a lagging, lagging response. But the USDA, and I know that, you know, our state partners with the university, they're going to have some meetings coming up. Really, everybody's doing everything they can to educate those that have been affected as much as possible so that they can take steps to get applications filled out. And the important thing for those affected is just document.
Yeah.
Take photos of the damage. Keep your receipts on what you're investing to
right.
get back and
right.
operational. And so that's going to be extremely important for this phase of the rebound.
Well, it certainly seems like the communication we're getting from the leaders in Washington. I know Brooke Rollins was out in the Ogallala area to take a look at the Morrill fire a couple of weeks ago.
And
it seems like the communication is there, but you know, it's one of those we like what we hear, but until we actually
it's one of those show me
it,
don't tell me things,
right? Show
yeah.
me the money
yeah.
moment, you know,
exactly.
Show me the help that you promise and cut the red tape. And that's it is so hard to do, you know,
and it's just going to take you know, local leaders like our board continuing to put the pressure on.
Hold the fire to their feet, right?
Exactly.
Or hold the feet to the fire, or whatever.
Yes, that.
If their feet move away, keep the fire going in that direction. You keep responding. Come on, you said you're going to do this.
Yeah, pardon the pun.
Yeah, for sure. You had a presentation by Nebraska Public Power District on the transmission line project. Get us up to speed with that, and a reminder of what the project they're doing with that.
So this was an update on the R project, a fairly controversial project, not only for here in Lincoln County, but all of our neighbors up north. Project started in 2012. It was shut down, paused anyway. It seems, for about 5.5 years.
What's the controversy with it then?
So this is a 226-mile-long transmission line that they're wanting to build that would connect Gerald Gentleman Power Station, cut north through the Sand Hills, and then head over east once it hits the Thedford area.
Underground, nothing underground?
Nothing underground. It's all the very large transmission lines that you see.
And people don't want all, from an aesthetic standpoint?
You have a lot of issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big things has always been the sensitivity of the sand hills. They're an important natural resource that we have. Transmission line, you run the risk of erosion. I think a lot of people have fear that this is a way to get the transmission infrastructure into areas that traditionally haven't had it, that are very wind-prone areas, so that renewable energies like wind power can be built. And I think that causes a lot of consternation with a lot of our neighbors up in the Sand Hills. But I also understand that there is a need. We have a lot of congestion through the River Valley. We have several major transmission lines that cut straight east from Gerald Gentleman Station. And the argument, there is one argument that does, you know, have some weight to it and some validity to it, that, you know, if we have a natural disaster such as a large tornado that comes through and tears down those transmission lines, we have a major problem when it comes to our power grid. And so Gerald Gentleman's an extremely important power producing asset, not only for our region, but the entire state and really the entire southern public power pool. And so that's the crux of the situation. You have a need to create some additional redundancy, but then you also have a need to protect very sensitive areas.
Yeah, you're always weighing two things that are important, you know, and you got one side that points out the, you know, what it's going to do to the ecosystem or, you know, upset that balance. Yep. But yeah, you know, you need that. In case of, like you said, a tornado, a big emergency or something like that, you need to have that power grid, a backup to fall.
We do need a robust power grid, and everybody loves electricity. Lord knows I do. Yep. You want your lights to turn on when you flip the switch.
Keep our phones powered up.
Yeah. The other aspect is the infrastructure that we have, the transmission lines that we have currently. They're at max capacity, so we're told by the representatives that came in from Nebraska Public Power District, and they, in order to for us to have more power generation here locally, we got to be able to put that electricity into the transmission line, and supposedly they're at capacity on those lines, and so I can see the arguments on both sides. I empathize with the arguments on both sides. This is one of those hot topic items that gives me a little bit of heartburn, mainly because I'm not 100% sure that the route that they've picked is the best route. I've looked at some data. I've looked at some of the studies. I haven't seen them all, just being frank with that. Mm-hmm. Currently, they're at like 82 to 84% easement acquisition. So they still have a little ways to go. My biggest concern comes when they have a route that they have made a definitive decision on, and they can't get the voluntary easement from certain property owners, and so they come in and they just do eminent domain. And that's my biggest concern, is that we're going
to
see some
of that.
They're
able to do that then? So they can claim eminent domain?
In the state of Nebraska, their utility, they absolutely have that authority and that power. Mm-hmm. And so big thing is they're going to have a lot more education coming up here in the very near future. Construction on this transmission line starts in June. They're going to start here at Gerald Gentleman and work their way north. So the time is fast approaching for everything to get wrapped up, and I just have concern that they're not where they need to be as far as those easements.
So they don't need do they need any permission from any county boards or any
nope.
local subdivisions or anything to do this?
No. Nope. So what they did yesterday was they provided us an update just as a courtesy, but
just as a courtesy,
they are the one and only authority on this. I mean, okay. there's nothing that our board can do or any other county board along the transmissions route that they can do. So we're hoping, we're extremely hopeful and optimistic that they are able to have those positive conversations with landowners and that it doesn't resort to eminent domain.
Well, and you would think that they would listen to input from landowners too, and maybe make a few adjustments if they have options. But I guess if they are the final authority and they want the route a certain way, they can do it. That's within their right to do it.
They relayed to us yesterday that this is the final route and the best route for them to go.
Okay.
And where they're at as far as starting construction here in just a few months, mm-hmm. I'm not seeing a whole lot of leeway for any kind of adjustment to that path. So.
Yeah.
The good thing is some of those sensitive areas, they do say that they're going to reduce the truck traffic going in. They're going to be helicoptering in a lot of that infrastructure, construction material to the various construction sites along the route.
Actually brought in by a helicopter?
Yep, and dropped. Mm. So that should reduce some of the truck traffic.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's a lot of concerns. And it's going to be on those individuals on that governing board, which, you know, fortunately we have two members on that governing board for MPPD that do live here locally, Kirk Olson and Rusty Kemp. And They're open. I know that they've said that they're open to having those conversations with anybody that may have questions, so people can reach out to them.
And is their route cut a wide swath through Lincoln County then, or just a portion of
Huge, yeah. It actually cuts through, the majority of it's through my district in District 4, which is northwestern Lincoln County.
Northwest.
So I represent the Sutherland area. They're going to cut basically straight north from Gerald Gentleman to just a couple sections from the county border, and then they're going to go straight east over to Highway 83. They'll cross into Commissioner Weems's district, and then they'll follow Highway 83 up north all the way to Thedford. So a lot of really remote rural area of Lincoln County they're going to be traversing with this transmission line. So
all right, well,
we'll see how it goes.
You can complain all you want, but it looks like it's going to happen. What's the timeline on completing the project?
They say they're going to complete the entire 226-mile transmission line within 2 years. Seems pretty ambitious.
Pretty
to
ambitious,
me.
Yeah.
And I'm, frankly, I don't know that all of their headaches are done. I know that they've been stopped at the federal level in court before. They've been stopped at the state level, but it appears that they've gotten the sign-offs at the federal level that they've been needing. But I know that there's a concerted effort out there, a lot of citizens along the route that just don't want to see this thing happen, and so I don't know that their headaches are done, and a lot remains to be seen at this point.
There may be some more jostling in the courts to try to slow them down, at least, huh?
One of those things that we'll wait and see.
Okay. Presentation by Lincoln County Assessor Julie Stenger on Form 425, and this is the report of damaged real property.
So, yeah, there's this is something that we, Commissioner Weems, Julie Stenger, they brought this in front of the board over the past several weeks with the Cottonwood Fire. We've had a lot of some town hall meetings. The governor was out, and this has been a topic that's come up. And I think that there might be some misinformation out there. We wanted to make sure that we took a moment to kind of explain the process. This is a form that affected property owners if they've had structures. We're talking buildings, you know, homes, outbuildings, permanent structures that have been damaged. They can fill out this form and potentially, after review by the Board of Equalization and the Assessor's Office, potentially get some reprieve on their property taxes. And so there's been some information that's been passed that this affects the land and fencing and trees and all sorts of other things that's just really not the case. And so we wanted some clarity on that. And what I would tell those that are affected by the Cottonwood Fire, that if they have questions on this and they're looking for some reprieve when it comes to their property taxes, the best thing that they can do, because every parcel's unique, every situation's unique, I encourage those individuals to come into the courthouse and speak with the assessor's office, learn about what the form is, learn about the process, ask your questions, because you don't know, you may be able to qualify for some relief and you may not, but the best bet to alleviate any confusion or misinformation is just come in and hear it straight from the assessor's office.
Yeah.
So that was the big point that we wanted to stress yesterday.
Good advice. Then you had Megan Trevino in from West Central District Health Department.
Yep, so,
and it is National Public Health Week.
It is. And so it was fitting for her to come in, and she provided us. She does this on a fairly regular basis throughout the year. Having served on the Board of Health for the Health District for many years up until this year when Commissioner Weems, with some of the changes of our collateral duties and assignments, Commissioner Weems now serves on that. But I had the pleasure to serve on the Board of Health for many years. And very pleased with what Megan Trevino is doing, the entire staff over there at West Central District Health Department, and where they've taken that organization over the past few years. And so she came in and just talked about some of the work that they're doing, their major priorities with regard to strengthening mental health, reducing substance misuse, improving health literacy, and really working very diligently to expand access to preventative care. And so pleased with the report that we got. You know, we're pretty blessed with our in our region with our health department. We have one of nine in the state that is accredited by the Public Health Accreditation Board, a national board. And so they are top-notch professionals, and they're really committed to getting out there and serving those most in need particularly, but being a resource for the entire community when it comes to preventative health. And so it was great to have the conversation with her, hear their updates, have an opportunity to ask some questions. And I know one thing that that entire staff and Megan are working on bringing back is some dental care for those most in need in our larger community. Mm-hmm. And so interested to see how that progresses over the coming months.
And then the final things were declaring sale of scrap iron, aluminum signs, and batteries as surplus property, declaring that it's usable, and thus authorizing a county official to go ahead and sell it as surplus property.
Yep. So every year every couple of years we do this. Our roads department, they accrue really at the end of the lifespan, you know, blades on the graders. They can only be used for so long, and all that steel accumulates, and it's time to do some spring cleaning. It's not usable. It's obsolete. And so we declare it as such, and we allow them to take it and get it scrapped and sell it for that metal. And so
get a little bit out of it anyway.
Get as much as we can out of it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so Jason Schultz, our highway superintendent, does a fantastic job. He kind of pays attention to what the market's doing, and it fluctuates day in and day out. But we're at a point where we have amassed enough. We have about 100 tons of steel. We have a lot of aluminum signs.
100 tons.
And, and so we're going to do what we can to get that cleared out and get some money back for the taxpayers.
Does that go into the Department of Roads budget then?
It'll go, technically it goes back into the general fund.
But, general fund.
That's where they get their funding from through our budget process. And so it helps the taxpayers. It won't be a ton of money, but every little bit helps. And so he pays attention, and he's as frugal as he can be with his budget. And this is one way that not only can we clean up the yard, but help the taxpayer just a little bit.
We love that when we can do that. Take care of two good things there. Anything else out of the meeting you wanted to mention?
No, other than the updates that we got, it was a fairly routine meeting. We got some good work done for Lincoln County and those that we serve. So,
Commissioner Chris Bruns, our guest, you're the vice chairman, right?
Correct.
Second only to Kent, though.
Well, it's just a title.
You're the vice kahuna.
We all work hard, all five of us. So
okay, that should do. And we appreciate you stopping by our studios this morning to give us an update and review of the meeting yesterday, Chris. And enjoy the rest of your week. And as we were talking about before we went on, hopefully we can squeeze some more rain out of the clouds this week.
We need rain. We don't need 10 inches all at once.
No, we don't need that.
We need as much precipitation as possible.
All right, hopefully we'll get some. You take care, and we'll see you down the line.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.